How many love Jesus today? Yeah, amen. Praise God. And if you're watching us online, I need you to shout amen every so often. Just text an amen online so someone can respond and say amen back to you. Just so you know that we know that you're there. Amen. So this morning we're preaching about the book of Nehemiah. We're talking about repairs of the breach. Repairs of the breach. Nehemiah heard that the wall of Jerusalem was broken down and burned with fire, and so he decided to do something about it. And as he started to do something about it, attacks came left and right, left and right. And we picked the story up in Nehemiah chapter 4, and we talked about a couple weeks ago, we talked about the attacks that Nehemiah was having. And I want to say this to you and to everybody who's listening. Whenever you set out to do something great for God, attacks will come and won't stop. You start to build your marriage, attacks are going to come. You start to have hope for your family, attacks are going to come. You start to believe for your finances to be healed, attacks are going to come. The enemy does not want to see you blessed. He does not want to see you with faith. The enemy does not want to see you get going for God. The enemy's going to attack you on every level, and he wants to discourage you before you even start to move. And I tell that to my interns all the time when we're starting a new internship class. I tell them that before you even get going, the enemy's going to start trying to stop you before you get going. But Nehemiah, he responded in this way. You see, Sanballat came against him, but he didn't just come alone. He brought others with him, brought other enemies with him, and they went to attack him, and they were going to conspire. And in verse 8 of chapter 4, it says, and they all conspired together, and they came to attack Jerusalem, and they caused great fear and confusion. Fear and confusion. And I thought about that a little bit, and it kind of reminded me of what's happening today in our world. Two words are very prevalent, fear and confusion. Fear and confusion. All of us, at one point or another in the last 4 months, have been gripped with some kind of fear. Maybe some are even gripped right now with fear. Confusion. And it's a very difficult, confusing time. We all know that. There's things that our generation, whether you're 10 years old or you're 50 years old, or whether you're 22 years old or whether you're 75 years old, this is our generation. And there's things that we are encountering right now in our generation that no one's ever encountered before. That being said, the enemy is a bully. Using a pandemic, using lawlessness, using a generation, attacking a generation, causing even the church to be afraid, causing the church to even be confused. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is how to respond to that. How do you respond when the bully of the land is making you afraid? How do you respond when the bully in the land is making you afraid? How do you respond to that? How do you respond? How do you respond to the enemy coming up against you right now? And how should we respond? How should the church respond right now? So I'm going to read Nehemiah, and this is how he responds in verse 9. All of them conspired against him, and then he responds in verse 9 and says, nevertheless, we made our prayer known to God because of them, and we set watch against them day and night. Somebody say, nevertheless. You see, there are words in the Bible that when you hear them, they should catch your attention. One of them is suddenly. When you hear suddenly, I love that in the book of Acts, and suddenly, it grabs your attention. Or, thus saith the Lord. When you hear a thus saith the Lord, that should grab your attention when you hear a thus saith the Lord. There's another word that should grab your attention, and I hope it does this morning, nevertheless. Nevertheless. Jordan, the next time your mama says you're a brat, just say, nevertheless. Joshua, the next time your sister says you're a brat, just say, nevertheless. It kind of wipes out everything that was said. Nevertheless. That's such a great word. The enemy is saying, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to take your church out. I'm going to take your economy out. I'm going to do with the pandemic. And how do we respond? We will hide in our homes. We hear the fear and we get confused. Or should we respond the way Nehemiah responded and say, nevertheless? Come on, somebody, stay with me this morning. Nevertheless. You know what nevertheless means? Nevertheless means in spite of that. So Jordan gets called by Sheila a brat, and he responds with nevertheless. You know what that means? Well, in spite of that, Mom, I'm going to keep harassing you. In spite of what you're saying, Mom, I'm going to keep bugging you. You see, the enemy right now is bullying the church, bullying the people of God. The enemy is bullying us. Come on, we are different now. We're in church wearing masks. And 60% of the church isn't even here. Some are locked in church in their houses right now afraid, and I understand that. And you have health issues, and I get that. You're taking care of yourself. Good, yes, amen. I love the fact that our people are responsible, and we are going to manage this pandemic, and we're not going to let this pandemic manage us. Is anybody awake this morning? We are going to manage this pandemic. We're not going to allow this pandemic to manage us. What does that mean? Well, we canceled church last week because the pandemic got a little close. So we're going to manage us. I don't need the governor managing me. I don't need a denomination managing me or managing my church. We know how to take care of us just fine. Do you know that today, right now, I was invited to go down south to Southern California. They asked me to come join with some pastors because the mayor of Ventura County is locking the church down, shutting off their PG&E, shutting down their water, and they arrested the pastor last week. This is in Southern California. The governor, Governor Newsom, ordered those churches, their electricity and their water to be shut off. But you know what? They said, we'll worship in the dark. So they're in their churches right now, and I was asked to go join them this morning. We'll worship in the dark, and we'll use a restroom before we come to church. But we're not going to stop praising, they said. We're not going to stop worshiping. So they did all those things, and they said, nevertheless, because right now we are in a battle for our lives. We're in a battle for the church, and we're struggling. We're telling the governor, look, we can manage ourselves. We are essential, and we're going to stay open. And that's why we shut down last week, to put some space between us all. And we did that. And we'll do it again if we have to. We're going to manage this thing, and we're going to manage it as a church, as a family. But I want to say this to some folks who maybe aren't even tuned in right now to my church, to CWC family, who hasn't been here in 3.5, 4 months now, and I understand the pandemic's going on. But I want to speak to those of you who are out and about doing everything. You're at family barbecues, you're at parties, you're at campouts, you're at the lake, you're doing this, you're doing that. You are not here at church. And you know what, in fact, you're saying? You're saying you agree with the governor. Church isn't essential. Church is not essential anymore. I want to do my own thing, and I will do it when I can. I'll watch online, get a sprinkle of church for about 12 minutes. Church isn't essential. There's preachers doing it. Preachers are building podcasts right now. They're building podcasts right now, building the new congregation. Don't even need to come to church. No church is necessary. And they're building their own congregations now by way of podcasts. You know why? Because people are still giving by way of their podcasts. But you know who's being raised up You know, if we don't make a church essential and get to church again, we're going to raise up a generation of small children who are going to grow up without the church. They're going to grow up. You think their children are listening to podcasts? Please, give me a break. I'm here because my parents took me to church as a little boy. My mom and dad, I didn't have a choice, but I grew up singing songs like the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I grew up in Sunday school. I grew up in church. Listen, we want to do away with all that, and we want to say we're to the governor, we are essential, but the people of the church, by you not even coming to church, you're saying to the governor and to the rest of the world, yeah, he's right. Church isn't essential. I worship at home. I'm the church anywhere. All right. Yeah, I believe that. And the same ones are saying to us when the governor said, shut up, don't worship, zip it. Oh, we can worship God without having to sing. Yeah, we could. But should we? Should we? We know we could, and we know we can be the church without the building. We've done that, and by the way, Christians have been doing it since the days of the inception of the book of Acts because of persecution. So they have done that. But should we? Should we have church? Should we open our mouths and praise? I'm saying to you, we got to push back. We got to tell the world we are essential. We got to fight for the church. And let me throw a little bit out here since I'm on the subject and y'all got me cranky. I get criticized on different ends. I get criticized on a lot of different ends, right? Especially right now. Well, you know, he's not leading his church right. You know, they should be shut down, blah, 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 blah. Whatever, okay. He's only opening the church because he needs the tithe. Let me dispel that. Let me just wipe away that one for you. From day one, when this church shut down, the people of CWC started giving more. More. We have had 4 months of giving in this church. Better, the 4 months of this church has been better than the 4 months of the previous years for the last 6 or 7 years. In the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of the economy crashing, the people of God began to give more. So what else are you going to throw at me? What else are you going to throw at me? Could it just be that we have a right to worship and we're going to come together and worship? Could it be that the church is really essential? We are needed. We are supposed to be coming together on Sunday, the first day of the week, and giving God our first fruits? Absolutely. 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 So Nehemiah is getting bombarded by attacks left and right. And they begin to tell him, Nehemiah, they're going to conspire. They've conspired against us and they're going to attack us. The pandemic's going to kill us. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. There's lawlessness in the land. The cities are now going to be uprooted. They're going to demand or defund the police. And then lawlessness is going to break out. It's happening already. You know how you respond to that? The same way Nehemiah responded. Nevertheless. Nevertheless. In spite of that. Nevertheless, that's how you respond. When the enemy comes up against you and starts to attack you and is loud, 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 how do you respond? You respond with that word, nevertheless. Well, I heard that so-and-so is being attacked. I heard this person's got corona. I heard that person's got corona. Oh, okay, yeah, I understand that, and we're going to pray for them. But nevertheless, I'm going to keep plowing forward. Nevertheless, I'm going to keep believing God. Nevertheless, I'm going to keep trusting God. Nevertheless, I'm going to keep praying. Nevertheless, I'm going to keep worshiping. Nevertheless, I'm not going to quit. Somebody say, nevertheless. Somebody typed that in the news feed. Nevertheless, in spite of all that, nevertheless. So Nehemiah says, nevertheless, we made our prayer known to God. When the enemy attacks your confidence, when he attacks you with simple questions, he's trying to attack your confidence. You respond with nevertheless. When he tries to cause fear, listen to me, I believe the enemy's been bullying us, causing fear and confusion. Fear and confusion. There comes, I believe we're at that David and Goliath moment in this country. We're at that David and Goliath moment in this country. You really are. You see, the church had fallen back. Israel had fallen back. And Goliath was yelling at them for 40 days and 40 nights. And then one day that shepherd boy comes running up to give cheese to his brothers. And he says, excuse me? Excuse me? We need the people of God. Somewhere, we, the church, have to ask that question. Excuse me? Why am I being pushed back by this pandemic? Why is my family being pushed back? Why are people getting sick? I'm so ticked off right now. Listen to me. Yes, the enemy's attacked certain people in our church and people are down with it, but they're all recovering. They're all recovering. Come on, those of you who have been hit with COVID, but you're recovering, somebody start shouting amen. Someone start praising God right now. COVID is going to be defeated. Amen. We're going to push back against that giant. The enemy made threats against them, and they responded. Nehemiah responded with nevertheless. Nevertheless. The next time the enemy comes up against you, the next time the enemy wants to destroy you, the next time he wants to lie to you or lie to your wife or your son or your children, you respond with, nevertheless, I'm going to talk to God about it. Nevertheless, I'm going to take my petition to God. Nevertheless, I'm going to pray about it. Nevertheless, I'm going to go to my God who is greater than any pandemic. Nevertheless. You see, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Are there any standard bearers in the house today? Is there anybody here that's willing to pick up a standard and wave it in this church? You know what? You are the standard bearer. You are the standard bearer. You are the one that's a standard bearer because you got Jesus in your heart. You got Jesus in your soul. You are the one that is the standard bearer. And when you open your mouth to praise, you're setting that standard. When you open up your mouth to glorify God, you're setting that standard. When you worship the King, you're setting that standard. You are the standard bearer. You are. You are. So let the church speak. Let the church rise up. Let the church begin to clarify and declare, no, I'm not okay with the lawlessness in the land. Come on, church. You need to speak up. The church needs to sound off. We're not okay with these riots going on in our country. We're not okay with the defunding of the police. We're not okay with the defunding of our military. We are about reform. That's what we wanted. We wanted reform, not defunding, not lawlessness. We need to speak up about that and say we are not okay with that. We are the church. Let the church speak loud. Let the church speak up and let the church say, no, I'm not okay with that. You know what? The enemy's coming against our country right now. So let us say like Nehemiah, nevertheless. Nevertheless, I'm going to pray. Nevertheless, I'm going to stand up. Nevertheless, I'm going to believe God. Let the church get a little ticked off that some people are being affected by corona. One of our very own, the Quintanas, Pastor Henry, it got pretty tough for him. The whole family got sick, but he got the worst of it. And he went to the, he walked himself into the emergency room over a week ago. And the whole time he's texting me, and I'm so ticked, Bishop. I'm ticked too. I'm ticked too. And we started warring and we started battling for the whole family. And our prayer team started battling. And for everybody in our church who's been affected by corona, you're getting the victory. You're on the downside of it. Corona can't take you out. The virus can't take you out. Amen. Amen. Come on, Mike. Come on, all of you who have been affected. You might be right now a little bit hunkered down because you're being responsible, but testify. God is greater than that pandemic. God is greater than that virus. Come on, somebody testify right now. God is greater than that pandemic. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Yeah. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I declare that over you right now. I declare that over the church. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down viruses, casting down pandemics, casting down depression, casting down cancer, casting down anything that rises up against the knowledge of God. Anything. We can see what's happening in our country. There's a war going on in our country for the very soul of our country. And I'm saying to you, the church, speak up. You are the Davids in the land. Goliath will come down. Goliath is going to fall. And you are the ones that are going to take out Goliath. You just got to get a little attitude-y. Huh? Is that even a word? Attitude-y? Got to get a little bit, in Spanish they call it coraje. You got to get a little bit ticked off. That's what you got to do. You see, you got to get a little ticked off. You got to get a little fired up. You got to get a little ticked off. David. He's like, excuse me? What is he saying about my God? What's he saying about the church? Excuse me? What's Goliath? What is that man? He might be a little big. What's he saying? The pandemic's real. We get that. But maybe it's time for us to stop receiving so much. Maybe it's time for us to start getting a little ticked off. Maybe it's time for us to say to the Goliath, you're going down. You're going down. I liken that to my mama. Ooh, my mama. You know, I grew up in a different generation. Come on. When I was a kid, parents whooped you. That's all there was to it. You got whooped. And, you know, my mom was the lover of the family. My mom, you know, she was, oh, mijo, I love you, I love you. And she would love all day long, right? And my mom. But the brat that I was, you know, the baby of the family, I had a mouth on me growing up, you know, and I know you all think I'm an angel. Mm-hmm. But if my mom were here, she would tell you. Yeah. But I remember my mom would be, you know, she was so loving. And such a nurturer, but when I got on her last nerve, and she'd tell me, you better stop, and I would keep at it, you better stop, I'd get mouthy, you better stop. There was a threshold that my mom would cross, and I'd go, oh, it's over. She was like, I'm telling you, you better stop. And whatever reason, I didn't stop. She said, all right, that's it. Someone get me a chancla. Somebody get me a sandal. All right, that's it. Go get the belt. All right, that's it. Someone get me a hanger. You ever been whooped by a hanger? A metal hanger? You ever been whooped by a metal hanger? You ever been whooped by someone breaking off a branch from a tree? And if my mom couldn't find any of those weapons, she had a good left hook. She was like, I've had enough of this. Come here, boy. And she would start swinging away. And I kind of think that's how the church has to get right now with this pandemic. I'm tired of it hurting my family. I'm tired of it hurting my church. I'm tired of it hurting my city. I'm tired of it hurting my country. Listen to me. I'm not okay with the lawlessness in this country right now. It's time for us to get a little ticked off about it and to stand up and say, no, I'm not okay with it. I know it's not a popular thing because people lash out at you. Let the righteous stand up and be heard now. Let the church rise up and be heard. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper, says the Lord. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, God. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we need you, God. Nehemiah responded to all the attacks with nevertheless. In spite of all that, I still believe. In spite of all that, I still have hope. In spite of all that, I know God can. In spite of that report, I know God can. In spite of the pandemic, I know God can. Nevertheless, I know my God is able. I know my God can. So I pray for everybody right now who's not feeling well, whether you're battling coronavirus or you're battling just a flu bug or a cold, whatever the case is, I don't care if it's whatever it is. Some of you are battling migraines or cancers. You're battling arthritis. I come against that in Jesus' name. I push back against that right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, be healed in Jesus' name. For my family that's here, if you have somebody that needs the Lord, that needs the Lord, or somebody that's not feeling well, come on, let's believe God. Let's believe God right now. Let's believe that God's going to heal them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against that coronavirus in Jesus' name. We bind it and rebuke it, God. We send it back to hell where it came from. But along with that, we bind cancer. We bind diabetes in the name of Jesus. Along with that, we bind, Father God, migraines. Somebody right now is battling arthritis in your back. And I just sense that God's wanting to do something right now. He's healing you. In the name of Jesus. I don't even know what arthritis in the back is, but I just felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to say that. That God's healing somebody from arthritis right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody's struggling with hopelessness, depression. I speak that gone right now in Jesus' name. I speak it to be gone right now. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Free. Freedom. Free. I speak to our people, our church people, our CWC lifers. I'm asking God in your behalf to remind you that church is essential, that you should be here. So God, I just pray that for all of our family, our CWC family, remind them, my God, that we give you the first day of the week here at church. We give you the first day of the week, our first fruits, God, here at church, where we come together for fellowship and prayer. I pray right now in your behalf. I pray for all of you. And if you are getting cold right now in the spirit, if you're getting a little bit cold in the spirit, I'm praying for you. Father, right now I pray you would ignite them. I pray for a fire, my God, that would be deep down in their souls, God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I pray, Father God, for those who are afraid. And I understand that, God, who are managing the pandemic. I get that. Strengthen them right there in their house. But may they manage this pandemic without fear. in the name of Jesus, because I don't believe, God, that you want us to be afraid. You want us to be wise, but not afraid. So I pray blessings upon them. I pray blessings upon everybody in this house right now, God. I pray blessings on your finances in the name of Jesus. I pray blessings on your family in the name of Jesus. I pray blessings on your children in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name that's above every name. In the name that is above every name. Jesus. 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 Come on, just say his name with me. Say Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, the next time the enemy comes up against you and attacks you from all different ways, you respond with, nevertheless, I still believe. Nevertheless, I believe God. Nevertheless, God's going to do it. Nevertheless. Let that word be in you. Let that word be in you, because you're a fighter. I see that in you. My church is a fighting church. We are a fighting church. We're not going to give up. We're not going to run. We're not going to tuck tail. We're not going to quit. We're a fighting church. One day at a time. Come on, everybody. One day at a time, right? One day at a time. We're going to fight. We're going to fight. We're going to fight. Listen, I'm going to ask, before I dismiss you, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask some of the men of the house, if you wouldn't mind seeing Pastor Mark. Where are you at? There you are. Wave your hand, one of our interns, Daniel. We're going to set up chairs in the back in the tent. It should take us about 20 minutes. We're going to wheel out some chairs. We're going to set them out for a minute. And so I'm going to ask if you wouldn't mind, before you leave, some of the men, if you wouldn't mind helping us doing that, that would be really great. We'll be here. We're still here. If you need us, you can call us. We're only a phone call away. And we love you. So all of you who watched us online this morning, I love you so much. Praying for you. Those who are here on campus, thank you. We love you and thank you for being here. Thank you, everyone, for praying for Connie and Mike. And thank you, God, for all that you're doing in your life. I'm thanking God. Amen. May the Lord bless you. I'm going to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, you can part with the side doors here. I want to thank you all for coming today. God bless you this morning. We know that God.